Hello guys, welcome to this week's episode of our Facts First podcast. Again, pag-uusapan natin dito yung mainit na usapin ng politika dahil magkakaroon na naman ng election next year dito sa Pilipinas. At of course, matindi pa rin yung problema ng pandemic. Ngayon, para sa episode na to, makakasama natin ang isang veteranong political strategist, veteran campaign strategist. I would like to introduce you all to the former chairman of the Manila Economic and Cultural Office, Mr. Angelito Banayo. Maraming salamat po, Mr. Banayo, for joining us on this podcast.
Salamat din, Christian, for this opportunity.
Okay, pinakilala ko kayo bilang veteranong political at...
Pinapatanda mo ako masyado.
Konting background lang, you used to work with the former President Joseph Estrada, and then you also helped in the campaign and also worked under the administration of Benigno Aquino III. And then you joined the Duterte administration bilang chairman ng Manila Economic and Cultural Office. Pinakilala ko kayo bilang former. So nag-resign na kayo, no, bilang MECO chairman.
Yeah, effective the end of July.
Bakit nga pala? Kasi you were there since the start of the Duterte administration, no?
Yes, yes. I was appointed June 30, 2016. But kasi nga, I'm getting quite busy with the 2022 national elections. I'm supporting a would-be presidential contender. So I cannot juggle two jobs at the same time. I cannot go to Taiwan quite often also because of the pandemic. And besides, hindi naman tama na, you know, you're not going to support who's going to be the candidate of the administration, no? Okay. Because so hindi naman tama na nandoon pa ako at the same time.
Okay. Kumusta naman yung pagpapaalam nyo kay President Rodrigo Duterte?
Maganda naman. He understands my position, and I also talked to Executive Secretary Salvador Medialdea, who's my immediate supervising officer, and Senator Bongo, who's right-hand man of the president.
Ano yung sinabi? Sinabi niyo sa kanila yung mismong dahilan kung bakit kayo nagre-resign?
Yes. In fact, matagal na rin naman nilang alam. As early as end of May, I think, or middle of May, I was asking for an appointment or an audience with PRRD about this matter. Kung paano, that early, sinabi ko na yung purpose ng paghingi ko ng audience. But because of health protocols and the president's tight schedule, hindi matuloy-tuloy. So finally, nag-usap kami ni ES Medialdea and ni Senator Bongo. And they said, sumulat na lang ako ng letter. At alam na rin naman ni Presidente daw at naiintindihan naman niya.
Okay, pero hindi ba kayo tinanong, for example, ni Executive Secretary o kaya ni Senator Bongo, na bakit hindi nyo nalang suportahan yung kandidato ng administrasyon o ni President Duterte?
Okay. As early as towards the end, I think the third week of January, early this year, 2021, I talked to the President himself in the presence of ES, Senator Bongo, and some other guys who were called to Malacanang because they were the original, part of the original non-Davao group who supported Duterte when he was planning to run for, as early as 2015, when he was still thinking about running for president. So initially, the president said ayaw niyang tumakbo si Mayor Inday Sara for president. He has been consistent about that. He's always been saying that, no? So sabi niya, ayaw niyang patakbuhin. And during the conversation, I said, in fact, Mr. President, hindi po siguro kanais-nais, no, na patakbuhin si Sara right after your presidency. Parang ang dating sa tao, parang dynasty, a local dynasty being superimposed into the national scene. No? So siguro kako, mas mabuting humanap kayo ng ibang tao, ibang kandidato na pwede naman ninyong pagkatiwalaan, na ipagpapatuloy yung inyong mga ginawa. At itambal na lang ninyo sa vice president of your choice. Kung sino man yung kursunada niyong vice president, yun na lang siguro, mas, baka parang mas maganda kung ganon. And he said, let's think about it. Let's think about who. But I left it at that because, you know, syempre presidente yung kausap mo, sa kanya yung final decision. Na nasabi ko na yung gusto kong sabihin.
Hindi siya nagalit sa nagkampanya.
That was my advice. Sabi niya, pagbalik mo ulit dito from Taiwan, mag-usap ulit tayo. Kasi I was going to leave for Taiwan na in a week or so. So sabi niya, pagbalik mo ulit dito, mag-usap ulit tayo. But that did not materialize anymore.
This was as early as January this year, pero...
Yeah, I think mga January 18, 19, mga ganon, 20, around that time. It was a Sunday, actually.
Okay. So ang tanong ngayon, Mr. Banayo, sino ang susuportahan nyo sa pagkapangulo sa 2022?
Well, hindi ko masasabing yun ang susuportahan ko because he has not also made a final decision.
Ano na lang, yung would-be possible president, sino yung possible presidential contender na napupulsuhan nyo at susuportahan?
Yung napupulsuhan ko at gusto kong, honestly, hinihikayat kong tumakbo, si Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Dumagoso.
Okay. Bakit si Isko?
Pero wala pa siyang final na decision. Marami pa siyang, well, for now, gusto niyang tapusin yung mga, at least maumpisahan, yung mga projects niya sa Manila. No, like yung ginagawa na yung kanyang condominium projects for the slum dwellers in Tondo. There are two of them in Tondo, one in Binondo, and some other places, no? At saka, yun, marami siyang projects na gusto niyang at least maumpisahan, mag-ground break, no? Before he decides, no? So, kaya, I don't know if you've noticed, almost every week, meron siyang gina-ground break or meron siyang ini-inspection na project. Kanya lang nga na nadali naman siya ng COVID. Saka iikot niya siguro, no? Nadali siya ng COVID nung linggo. Last Sunday, I mean. And he's now confined in Santa Ana Hospital.
Paano yung naging usapan niya ni Mayor Isko Moreno? Siya ba yung lumapit sa inyo or kayo yung lumapit sa kanya?
Matagal ko na kasing kilala si Isko, no? There was a time, I think that was 2001, I was the chief consultant of then Mayor Lito Atienza. And Isko was a councilor at that time, no? So malimit kasi si Isko, may hunger for knowledge yan eh. Malimit yan, nag-iimbitang magkape sa Cafe Adriatico o kaya doon sa Meluneta. The string of restaurants doon sa Meluneta at that time. And kwentuhan, trying to get to know a lot of things about Philippine politics, about governance. So ganon. And then twice I was invited by Miss Malu Tikia to some of her seminars. And one of the seminar participants was Isko Moreno. So doon kami naging magkakilala kami. Yeah.
Ano specific dito sa possible run niya sa 2022 for president? Kayo ba yung nag-volunteer ng tulong? O siya yung nag-tap sa inyo?
Nung I think that was prior to Christmas, November, tumawag yung kanyang chief of staff sa akin. I was in Taiwan at that time. Kung magpapasko raw ba ako sa Maynila, and I said yes. Oh sir, baka pwedeng dinner meeting tayo ni Mayor. So that was how it was, no? And we had a dinner meeting, a very small group, five of us. And that was where asked me if what I thought about a possible presidential run, no? Given the political environment and the names, I mean, of course, we discussed some possible competitors should he decide to run. So that was how it started.
And then, anong in-advise siya sa kanya during that December meeting last year?
Sabi ko, magpa-survey ka. I mean, he showed me, in fact, a survey. I cannot name the survey or the research group because I might be breaking confidences.
Yeah.
Apparently, they asked one of the research groups in the Philippines to do a quantitative research, and the numbers were pretty good. His awareness was not yet that high, but his conversion was quite high.
And
so I said, maganda yan, kako, pero dapat, lagi ka nagpapasurvey. You have to track that. Hindi pwede ka kung on the basis of one survey, ay gagawa ka ng decision, which is quite difficult because on the other hand, you are more or less certain of re-election as mayor, di ba, of the city of Manila. So, alam ko kako, hindi madaling decision yan. No? So, ang suggestion ko, not only kako surveys, but FGDs, no? To find out ano ba ang mga issues that matter to people, what are top of mind issues, etc. And, he asked me to guide him through that, no? And I did, no? So, even when I was in Taiwan, I would sometimes listen in to FGDs, no? Listening on and then coming up with some analysis of those issues that people thought mattered in this time of the pandemic.
Okay, pero based on that survey, ano yung awareness niya? I was quite surprised na hindi ganun kataas yung awareness niya.
Yeah, 87?
At least kilala siya.
Sarah was already 100. Ping Lacson was 100. Almost everybody was 100. I mean, Lenny, Vice President Lenny was also 100 or 99. Ganun. And he was only doing 88.
O sige, para maintindihan ng mga nanonood at nakikinig sa atin, Mr. Banayo, pag sinabing awareness, kilala ka. Alam ng mga tao that you exist here in the Philippines. Ngayon yung conversion, ilan dun sa mga nakakakilala sa'yo ang boboto sa'yo sa specific position. So sa survey na ito for president, ano yung conversion niya?
He was converting at 12, I think, in December of last year.
Mm-hmm.
In December of last year.
Pero in itself, mataas na yun, di ba?
Yeah. Kaya nga, encouraging eh. No? Quite encouraging. No? That is in a long list of candidates. Puro long list pa naman nun. No? So,
marami pang pangalan na nandun sa listahan.
Marami. Marami pangalan.
Mataas yung 12%.
Yeah. Quite high.
Okay.
That early. It was quite high. He was statistically tied with former Senator Bongbong Marcos and Senator Manny Pacquiao. Even Senator Grace Poe.
Okay. Pero yun yung time na hindi pa siya masyadong binabanata ni President Duterte. No?
Actually, wala pang ganun.
Nung medyo pumipitik na si President Duterte against Isko Moreno, ano yung naging epekto?
Wala pa kaming data on that because quite recent yun eh. The first one, if I remember rightly, was during the SONA. Diba? During the SONA may pitik without mentioning. Parang blind item na pitik. And I'm waiting for the results of survey that was done more or less during the week of the SONA, no? So don't. But yung major na pitik, yung itong recently, yung may bikini brief incident pa, wala pa yon. That's not measured yet.
Okay. Pero ano sa tingin niyo magiging epekto nun? Kasi I don't know whether this is also measured by other candidates or prospective candidates. Alam naman natin yung konteksto, di ba? Madaling basahin. Babanat si President Duterte. Doon sa tingin niya, threat. Do you agree?
Yes, but on the basis of data analytics sa SOCMED at saka sa traditional media, which we also do periodically, mukhang maganda for Yorme yung pagkakapitik sa kanya ni Presidente. I mean, it's based on the data analytics, mukhang nakapagpataas ng stock ni Yorme Isko. But of course, those are just data analytics of media reactions, both social and traditional. Wala pa yung talagang quantitative research.
Pero bakit sa tingin nyo, ganun yung banat sa kanya ni President Duterte recently?
Well, I don't really know, no? I don't really know. Maaring merong malapit kay Presidente o taga-Palacio na may pinakitang video clip or whatever na si Mayor Isko na frustrate dun sa nangyaring pumipila ang tao sa baha, yeah. No, which he thought was was understandable because bigla rin naman yung buhos ng ulan ng araw na yon, and then yung reason kung bakit binahan ng todo-todo ang Manila, especially that area, was because the drains, the sewage rainwater drains to Manila Bay were closed because of work being done by the national government agencies. No, eh, alam mo naman yung lugar na yon sa Manila, yung area ng Santa Ana, Malate, Ermita, yung mga ganyan, are below sea level. Kanya kung hindi nag-ooperate yung drains, talagang babahayin, no? So, yun na. Kumusta, no? It's not deliberate. But, so nung parang tinitik nga siya about parang hindi niya alam ang ginagawa niya and all that, medyo sumagot din naman yung bata. Kaya, baka ganon. I mean, I'm speculating, no?
Pero frankly speaking, you've been in this business for so long. Matagal nang basahin yung mga signs, di ba? Baka naman strictly speaking, threatened lang si President Duterte dahil pag tumakbo si Isko Moreno for president, may talo o may pagkakalagyan yung kandidato niya.
Well, the numbers show that, no? The numbers show that. I'm sure the palace or Mayor Inday Sara also has surveys of their own, and set side by side with the surveys that we make, it is very clear that if the kasi ang lumalabas lang na publicly announced or publicly released surveys right now are done by PulseAsia, di ba? And PulseAsia only releases the long list. No, na napakadami, 12 yata yung kandidato, no, kasama pati si Justice Carpio, di ba, kasama si kung sino-sino. But in the same surveys of PulseAsia, for instance, aside from other surveys that have been done privately, commissioned privately, pag pinair down mo yung kandidato to say 3 or 4 candidates, no, halimbawa 4, even 5 candidates, lumalabas na talagang very competitive si Mayor Isko vis-a-vis Mayor Inday Sara.
No? When you say competitive, gano'ng kalayo or gano'ng kalapit?
Some surveys in July, or rather in the latter part of June, statistically tied.
Statistically tied?
Yes. Within the 3% margin of error.
Okay, statistically tied. Nasa 20s?
Yes. Parang, if I remember rightly, parang 30 si Inday, Mayor Inday, and parang 27 si Mayor Isko.
Tabla nga, statistically.
And then number 3 si Senator Bongbong at I think 15. And Senator Pacquiao at 11. With Vice President Lenny at 9.
Okay. So sa ngayon, clarify ko lang yung role nyo, no? So you are helping, you are advising Mayor Isko Moreno?
Yes. Okay. Parang pero, consultant ako.
Kasi it's easy to describe you as a campaign strategist, pero wala pa kasing kampanya, no? So basically political strategist or advisor of some sort.
Yes. You could put it that way.
Okay. Now, malaking gamble itong gagawin ni Mayor Isko Moreno. Kanina nga binanggit nyo, most likely he would win re-election for the mayoral seat in Manila. Pero dati nang usapan to, lalo nung kaka-elect pa lang yan 2019, dun pa lang lumutang na yung posibleng pagtakbo niya sa pagkapangulo. Pero that early, marami na nag-iisip na hindi mo masyadong risky. Pag natalo ka, wala kang kahihinatnan if you run for president. Ano yung tingin niyo rito?
Yes, totoo yun, no? And he has been told several times about that risk, no? But you know, gunning for the presidency is a matter of carpe diem yan eh.
Mm.
You seize the day.
Yeah.
If you think the wind is beneath your wings, no, you seize the day. Even Mayor Duterte, for instance, in 2015, when I talked to him at the Marco Polo Hotel in January 8, if I remember right, it took us about 5 hours to convince him to at least move around the country and, you know, get to listen to the people and get to talk to the people. That was a group composed of Executive Secretary Mediel Dea, Finance Secretary Carlos Dominguez, Bebot Alvarez, the former Speaker of the House, and Senator Bongo. Now, Senator Bongo. So kami lang, no? We talked for about 5 hours from 9 in the evening or 9:30 in the evening to the wee hours of the morning of the following day. And finally, he agreed to move around the country, which that was when he started. Kaya yung unang ikot niya, unang punta niya doon sa bayan namin sa Butuan, no, sa Agusan del Norte. Kasi sabi ko mas kayang magbuo kaagad ng sectoral groups na makikinig sa kanya and all. And yun, ganun na nangyari. And that started the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Pero in the case of Mayor Isko Moreno, first term as mayor of Manila, do you think meron na ba siyang, does he have enough to show already to gun for the highest elective position?
Well, for a first-term mayor who has served only less than 3 years, no? 2.5 years or so, more than half of which was during the pandemic, to be able to push all those projects all at the same time, transform the city of Manila from the pits, so to speak, left to him by his predecessors, to now, no, to the present Manila that you see, no, but if, for instance, putting up the Baseco housing project for slum dwellers, for informal settlers, at record speed, and yung bang bahay na kung paano 42 square meters, can you imagine that, and to be rented out at only 2,000 pesos. In fact, I asked him about the financial engineering of that, and I was amazed at the kind of financial engineering that he did to be able to do all of these projects all at the same time. Yung COVID hospital, for instance, which was an instant reaction to the possibility of a Delta variant coming in, which we foresaw na pwedeng mangyari. O yun, sabi niya 60 days tatapusin, 52 days natapos. Okay. So the guy acts fast. The guy has political will, and the guy makes clear decisions. May plano at ini-implement.
But is he ready for the presidency?
I believe so. May hunger for knowledge eh. Nag-aaral, nagbabasa. Sometimes I'm amazed, no? I mean, matagal na rin naman ako sa politika. Sometimes I'm amazed at the ideas that come into play. And what is most, I think, makes him stand out compared to the competition is his mastery of social media, his innovative mind. No? He understands artificial intelligence, he understands technology that can be applied to so many problems of government. So tingin ko, yun ang akma sa panahong ito.
Sige, tatahiin
ko. In the same way that when we were convincing Mayor Duterte then of Davao, we were saying siya yung bagay doon sa panahon na yon, no? Siya yung akma doon sa panahon na yon.
Sige. Tatanungin ka kayo regarding competence. Tinanong ko rin to in the case of Senator Manny Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. in the case of Senator Bongo, who is being floated or who is about to be nominated by the PDP Laban as its standard bearer, basically candidate for president in 2022. Actually, I came under heavy fire from within because of that. Pero that's a fair question to ask sa mga itinutulak o sa mga nag-aambisyon na tumakbo sa pagkapangulo, no? How about the competence of Mayor Isko Moreno? We know his background. He went to a lot of training. He went back to school. He went to this Harvard executive course. Sabi niyo nga, hunger for knowledge. Pero yung core competence in terms of leading the country, is he ready for that?
I believe so. The mere fact that he has accomplished so much for Manila within such a short period of time shows that the guy is competent. No? You can see the accomplishments naman eh. It's not ano. And the way he communicates to the public also shows a sharp mind. No? And that is, I think, what is needed these days. One of the things, I have to say this, Christian, when I helped President Erap, no, in the early days, right after the elections, I was the one who wrote the or drafted the executive order that created what we called then the President's Personnel Team, or President's Personnel Team, which parang ano, search committee. I think many people will agree that vinevet naman namin kung sino ang ina-appoint, no, ni Presidente Erap. And by and large, both the cabinet and the important agencies of government were given to people who had the competence. What I'm trying to say is, it is important for a leader of a country to choose people on the basis of meritocracy, on the basis of their accomplishments in the past, on the basis of experience, academic training, etc. No. And I saw that in Isko, even in the city of Manila. No? Siyempre, lahat naman ng political leaders, meron ka mga pinagkakautangan ng loob na binibigyan mo ng pwesto. Pero in the case of the city of Manila, although ganun din na he put in a lot of young minds, mga bata, mga magagaling, no? Yung iba fresh from school pa nga. So, buhay yung isip nung kanyang bureaucracy sa Manila, and he knows how to motivate people. He knows how to inspire people, which at the end of the day is what competence is all about. It's not about your personal achievements or your personal experience, the length of your experience, but you're knowing how to put people in the right boxes. Hindi yung square pegs and round holes. No?
Okay. So this is how you know Mayor Isko Moreno. But as a veteran campaign strategist, how do you make him win?
How do I make him win?
Trade secret. Papanato.
Trade secrets na yata yan, Christian.
Hindi, basically. Kasi you've worked with the... Ito, personal observation ko. Correct me if I'm wrong. You usually align yourselves with people who are likely to win. In the case of Joseph Estrada, he was very popular in 1998. Then there was this outpouring of support after the death of Cory Aquino in 2009 and this push for her son to run for president. And then you supported him. So parang ganun yung basa ko sa inyo, tama ba? When you throw your support on a possible contender, you see something in that contender that likely that contender would win.
Not necessarily, Cristiano. I started off after meeting Ninoy Aquino in Boston, I started off with Doy Laurel. Okay. Ninoy asked me to help Doy Laurel. Mm-hmm. I organized UNIDO together with a few, very few people. I organized the political opposition party. And I was mentored by some very good people, very, very great political minds. No? Fighting Marcos was not easy, no? And then after that, I learned my biggest lesson in the Mitra Fernan campaign. I was the one who encouraged then Chief Justice Marcelo Fernan to run for president. But unfortunately, it was a wrong timing for him. So eventually, he set in as vice president of the late speaker, Monching Mitra. I thought then, and this is one of the most the clear lessons that I learned, I thought then that the fact that the LDP, the major party at that time, Laban ng Demokratikong Pilipino, which had control over 95% of all elective positions in the country, would win, that the machinery was that important. Hmm. Well, I learned the painful lesson there that the machinery matters less in national elections, especially the presidency and even senatorial elections. What was more important was the message that you communicated to the public and the way you're able to sustain that message through the period of campaign. So with that lesson, well, yes, I was into... we lost then, no? We lost. Fidel Ramos won. Fortunately, he was a very good president. But remember, in that, the one who really stood out in that campaign was Miriam Defensor Santiago, because she had the right message. She had the right persona for that particular period of time. Then afterwards, it was ERAP, no? ERAP was strong based on the surveys. But again, that was tested when we thought then Senator Gloria Macapagal Arroyo would run for president also, because we were seeing numbers that almost equaled those of Vice President Estrada. Fortunately, as fate decided, she decided to run for vice president instead of president instead. And that made the way clear for us, no? In the case of Pinoy, in the case of, oh yes, and I was also part of the campaign team of Ping Lacson.
Yeah.
And I supported Ping Lacson, even if all the surveys showed that we wouldn't win. No, I mean, I maintained
2004.
2004, no? Even if all the surveys showed that we wouldn't win. No? In the case of Pinoy, I entered the campaign only when Manny Villar and Pinoy were statistically tied. 37 si Pinoy, 35 si Manny Villar. Mm-hmm. No? Before that, I was supporting another candidate until Tita Cory died and the landscape changed. No? In the case of President Duterte, he was not a sure winner. In fact, his early numbers in 2015 was single digit. No? But we managed to bring him up, so it's finding the right guy at the right time. If you were a talent scout, kung talent scout ka, it's looking for the right guy and you know, giving him the advising him properly on the messaging, being very proper about your methodology in research, no. So that you would know how to navigate, no, through the communications. It's basically communications more than a political machinery.
Okay. So dito yung machinery, you don't see that as a problem for Isko Moreno. Pero meron ba siya to begin with?
Meron naman, no? Meron siya machinery. Ano mo problema nga dito sa bansang ito? Because we have a multi-party system and almost all the parties are just flags of convenience for personal ambition, no? Walang ano eh, walang loyal, bihirang-bihira yung loyal sa isang partido. Kaya nga pag nanalo, halimbawa ngayon, PDP Laban, dati yung mag-amang Pimentel lang halos ang miyembro niyan, di ba? Yung kilala natin, maraming miyembro hindi natin kilala, pero ang kilala lang natin yung mag-amang Pimentel. O, nung sumakay dun si Presidente Duterte at nanalo siya, oh, halos lahat naglipatan sa PDP Laban. Ganon din in the case of Lakas nung panahon ni FVR, di ba? Mm-hmm. FVR started with 7 congressmen, no? Eventually everybody joined the Rainbow Coalition for him. So, at the end of the day, local politicians look at the numbers and then they decide how to be relevant to the perceived winner in the campaign.
No? So, how do you explain yung paglipat ni Isko Moreno from the National Unity Party to Action Democratico? yung Action Democratico very low-key na siya lately, no? Sabi ng iba, medyo moribund na. Pero bakit dun siya lumipat? At saka, as a consequence, hindi ba mawawala yung suporta sa kanya ng isang napakalaking negosyante?
Because okay. Of his transfer. Yung NUP kasi, I don't remember exactly the date. It's Secretary General issued an announcement that they were ready to support and to coalesce rather with Hugpong, whatever the full name of Hugpong is.
Hugpong ng Pagbabago.
Yeah, Hugpong ng Pagbabago, in the which is going to be the vehicle for Mayor Inday Sara Duterte's presidential bid, if that materializes, no? So that was done, and then wala namang minasama yon ni Mayor Isko, but then because of that and we decided na why don't we talk to other political vehicles. I wouldn't really call, sometimes it's difficult to call them political parties kasi nga flags of convenience ang karamihan eh. Mm-hmm. So I talked to the president of a political party, ako lang muna, and unfortunately he said he could not make a decision until November or December of this year, which was too late for us. So then we initiated talks with Action Democratico, and through several meetings we decided to join forces. So ganun na nangyari yung action. Maganda naman sa Action Democratico, you have the memory of Raul Roco, yeah, who until his death was highly regarded, highly respected. And secondly, yung mga iilang miyembro nila o iilang mga political leaders that are part of the party, mga magaganda naman ang track record in governance, no? And I talked to the late Congressman Hermie Aquino about 2 weeks before he died, and he gave us his blessings, no? So ganun na nangyari dyan.
Okay, so meron na siyang political vehicle in Action Democratico, pero may pondo ba si Isko Moreno to wage a nationwide campaign for president na napakagastos?
Well, una-una, Christian, the money or the funding is a function of surveys. No? If your numbers are good, the money comes in. No? Nobody will give enough to a candidate who's doing single digit at this point in time. No? Meron mga kaibigan, pero konti-konti. No? That's one. Two, and you can ask whether ERAP or other candidates. No? I don't overspend. I always make sure that my candidate gets value for money. No? Noon nga panahon na si Presidente Duterte, nag-upisa kami, halos wala kaming kapera-pera eh. Pati nga yung first ad namin, nabitin yung launch because we did not have enough funds to cover for it. No? But somehow we managed. No? No? A million here, 2 million there. Put it together through Sunny Dominguez. And we were able to come up with yung ad namin na tapang at malasakit, no? Yun. So, you know, and then the numbers started growing. And with the numbers started growing, the funds also came in.
Pero
it's,
sa ngayon,
it's always been the story of Philippine presidential elections.
Pero sa ngayon, may pumapasok na bang mga pondo kay Mayor Isko Moreno, given the numbers that you mentioned para sa kanya? Nasa double digits sa ayon sa inyo?
May ads na kami. If you watch Provinciano, for instance, which is in your channel, we have ads there, no? It's a 60-seconder, by the way. Starting this week, it's going to be a 30-seconder. We have ads in other channels, no? So, meron naman, di ba?
So ngayon, more or less buo na yung team niya?
Hindi pa. No. We don't have a vice president yet.
Kailan siya mag-decide? Of course, you need to decide before October 1. Pero kailan siya mag-declare kung sakali?
Siguro after the ghost month, mag-decide siya. No? And the ghost month, what? Ends in September 6 or 8, I think. I'm not too sure about that. And then, declaration should be within the month of September, not October.
So yung October 1 to 8 yung filing ng certificates of candidacy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about yung weaknesses or perceived weaknesses. Lahat naman ng kandidato may weaknesses, no? Una-una, he is from Manila at lagi merong narrative na Imperial Manila. How do you sell Isko as a candidate for president in Visayas and Mindanao?
Okay. Isko's mother came from Alen, Northern Samar. Isko's father came from San Jose, Antique. Two of the poorest provinces in the country then and now. No? So, yun yung typical na mahirap na Pilipino na nagpunta sa Manila, ang unang nakita, North Harbor, which is in Tondo. No? So, nagtrabaho doon. The father as a stevedore sa Kumpanya Maritima. You weren't born yet then. Yung Kumpanya Maritima is a Spanish-owned, Castilang Fernandez family ang may-ari. Anyway, and then pagkatapos, yung nanay naglalaba. No? Naglalabandera. No? So, it's not as if Imperial Manila ang pwedeng ikabit na issue. No? And it's the typical story of yung mga mahihirap nung araw na wala pa namang OFW noon, yung mahihirap nung araw, nagbabaka sakali sa Maynila because all the jobs were in Metro Manila and neighboring provinces. So ganun na nangyari. No? So yung Imperial Manila tag, I think that's easy to disavow.
Okay, yun namang yung possible attack sa public record ni Isko Moreno. He's basically young still, pero merong impression na he is a young trapo. How would you address that?
Well,
taro loyalty sa mauna yung sinuportahan.
Yeah, first of all, when we talk of youth or age, he is 46, he will be 47 come October this year. Inday Sara is 43. She turned 43 in May, no? Manny Pacquiao is 42, he will turn 43 in December this year. Bongbong Marcos, I think, is 63 or something like that, no? Vice President Lenny is 15, he's in her 50s, 54, 55, I'm not too sure about that. So it's not as if he's the youngest of the pack. Yung sinasabing trapo, sa local politics, kaya nga sinasabi ko lagi, kasi wala tayong, we have a presidential form, but we have a multi-party system. And the constitution allows people to put up instant parties. So, anong nangyayari dyan? Yung papalit-palit ng partido is part of the systemic problem. It is not a personal thing, yung sinasabing trapo. He was asked by Mayor Atienza to join him, no, when he ran for councilor, and he finished number 5, I think, out of 6. So, when he ran for re-election, he was number 1 already. Pero nag-graduate si Mayor Atienza. So pag-graduate ni Mayor Atienza, ang ifinild namang kandidato yung kanyang anak, si Ali, no? It was at that time that he chose to be with Vice Mayor Danny Lacuna. Now, who was his mentor in the city council, because vice mayor for the longest time si Danny Lacuna, no? And then later I think that was 2013 when President Erap wanted to run, at that time kasi kontrapartido na oppositionist vice mayor na si Isko Moreno kay Fred Lim. No, because he supported Danny Lacuna, no? So nung hinikayat siya ni Erap na tumakbo with Erap, sumama siya kay Erap, no? because it was basically a two-sided candidacy or campaign at that time, nung sa Manila, no? And then later on, ERA promised him one term lang. Hindi naman nagkatotoo yun.
No? Ginanahan eh.
Ginanahan and asked him instead to run for senator. He ran for senator with very paltry finances. Natalo siya. He was number 15 or 16, I think.
But he placed respectably. It was quite surprising. No? Kasi kitang-kita ng campaigning, kinapos siya ng pisi, di ba?
Yeah,
wala yung ads niya.
Kinapos talaga ng pisi, no? And yon. So come 2019, no, he ran for mayor, and for the first time since mayors Lacson and Villegas, he got the most number of votes, 52%.
Yeah.
Ipagsamahin mo yung kay ERAP at the late Fred Lim, talo pa niya, no?
Landslide. Yung isa namang banat kay Mayor Isko Moreno na binabato rin sa ibang mga perceived erstwhile supporters of President Duterte, yung naging enabler daw siya ni President Duterte. How would you respond?
Okay. Enabler in the sense na naniniwala naman siya dun sa political will ni Presidente. Naniniwala naman siya dun sa fight against drugs. Madali salita, hindi naman natin maitatatwa na si Presidente Duterte, marami rin namang nagawang achievements, no? How do you fight bill? Tama naman 'yon. How do you fight the war against drugs, no? So, in this country at the end of the day, you cannot really picture somebody as purely opposition and somebody as purely pro-administration, no? Kasi nga, wala tayong dichotomy ng nationalista at liberal to which we were used to before Marcos came up with martial law, no? Wala tayong democratic versus republican eh, no? So you cannot fault politicians for supporting somebody and eventually running not against that somebody but against whoever he endorses, because well, a single term tayo, wala re-election. Hindi naman si Presidente Estrada ang tumatakbo eh. Oo. Kundi kung sino yung i-endorse niya.
Actually, maganda yung pinag-uusapan natin dito, Mr. Banayo, kasi yung behavior of politicians is actually driven in big part by the system that we have, no?
Yes.
The party system na sinabi niyo. Kunwari, political dynasties, bakit ang hanap? Anyway, maganda pag-usapan yan sa ibang episode. Pero dito pagdating ni Isko Moreno, so hindi mo siya pwedeng ituring na magiging opposition candidate just in case. Kasi may ongoing talks between Isko and isang bayan, I understand.
I'm not aware of recent talks. Alam ko, pinumbida siya ng isang bayan, tapos pinaliwanag ng isang bayan yung kanilang, hindi naman plataforma, yung kanilang stand on issues. And they talked about the issues that they shared, the positions they had on different issues. No? Ang nangyari kasi dyan, ang gusto ng isang bayan is you go through their process. Yung conveners nila, the process of their conveners will decide who the candidate will be. No? And we thought that was not correct. No? Parabang on my advice actually and the advice of other people in the campaign team was bakit naman tayo magpapa under sa isang convener group, no? I mean, it is not as if they speak for the entire electorate, no? Parabang self ano eh. I respect all of them. I respect Ombudswoman Conchita Carpio Morales very much. Tony Carpio, Associate Justice. These people are very, very venerables, so to speak. Heidi Mendoza. Pero yun na nga eh. Parang malabo yung system o yung proseso ng choice. No? So parang kung ikaw ang kandidato, ayaw mo magpa-trap. I will use the word trap. Into that process, no, because it limits your options immediately.
Okay. pero dito, paano niya sa kampanya, how would you distinguish yourself from, for example, President Duterte, na pinaliwanag niyo naman kung bakit sinuportahan ni Isko Moreno. For example, ano yung mga non-negotiable sa kanya? Saan siya tumatayo, for instance, sa drug war?
Okay. Doon sa drug war, malinaw si Isko. For instance, sa Manila, pag may nahuling drug pusher o ano, he tells the police, ayokong patayin ninyo yan. Huwag niyo sasabihin sa akin ng laban. No? You'll have to show, we'll present them to media at nahuli sila, ipakulong. Let the system of justice go through. He is not definitely against, he's definitely against extrajudicial killings. No? So that is a point of difference. No? I'm not saying that the president is for extrajudicial killings, but that has happened in a lot of instances where sometimes even innocent victims were done away by the police forces. No?
Okay.
So, yun.
Kung manalong Pangulo si Isko Moreno, would he be hard on President Duterte? Kumbaga, marami nakaabang dun sa gagawin na susunod na Pangulo kay President Duterte. Kumbaga, pipigilan ba yung prosecution ni President Duterte? Kasi maraming kasong nakaamba sa kanya pagbaba niya sa pwesto. Anong gagawin naman ni Mayor Isko Moreno kung manalo siya?
Pinag-usapan namin yan. Ano? And he has been quite upfront about it. No? Na as much as possible, ayaw niya na babalik yung cycle ng gantihan sa Philippine politics. Remember, ERAP was imprisoned by GMA. GMA was imprisoned by President Noynoy. No? Ayaw niyang ibalik yung ganon. And even now, no, Senator Laila De Lima is in prison, no. Ayaw niya ibalik yung ganon, no. We have to heal the country. No? Now, it does not mean that the processes of the rule of law will be stopped, no. Yung process ng rule of law kailangan manatili yon. But yung sasabihin mong out of spite gagantihan mo ang isang dating presidente kontra si Isko dyan because he thinks everything should go through the processes of our justice system, no? Our justice system, not necessarily the ICC's justice of system. Besides, there's a legal conundrum to that because umalis na tayo dun sa ICC, yung Rome Statute. So that is a legal conundrum, no? Are we bound, no? Are we still bound? Would the next administration still be bound considering that when President Duterte removed us from or disengaged from the Rome Statute, that may bind the next president? No? But that's a legal conundrum. And I'm not a lawyer to be able to discuss that with the...
Pero maliwanag, Mr. Banayo, dun sa Rome Statute na lahat ng mga alleged crimes committed before the withdrawal would still be covered. So, hindi mo pwedeng sabihin na hindi pwedeng tumakbo yung proseso after that.
Yeah, yung proseso dapat tumakbo, no? But that's going to take, you know, but dapat tumakbo nga yung processes of the justice system and the rule of law. Hayaan mo tumuloy yon, no? Hayaan mo tumuloy yon. Hindi naman para you know, parang diktador ka na sasabihin mo hindi pwede. But yun na nga, yung spirit ni yung intent ni Mayor Isko is as much as possible tigilan na natin yung politics of vindictiveness, no, and instead we have to unite as a nation, heal as a nation because we have facing so many problems. It's going to be a very difficult task for the next presidency.
But ano, in case the ICC goes after President Duterte under an Isko Moreno presidency, would he stand in the way?
Not stand in the way, I think. No. But maybe that's a question that you will have to ask him eventually when you get to interview him after he declares for the presidency.
Sige, patapos na tayo, Mr. Banayo. Gusto ko lang tanongin muna dito sa chances naman ni Isko Moreno against Sara Duterte. So sa ngayon, sa mga surveys na lumalabas, si Sara Duterte nangunguna. Tapos, on the other hand, ano yung basa nyo naman dun sa push on the part of PDP Laban for a Go-Duterte tandem?
Well, that is a problem of the administration, no? Hindi ko maiintindihan din yon yung laro na yon, ano? Whether it's eventually, whether I think the president truly does not want his daughter to run. No, I mean I'm taking him at the face value of his word, which I heard personally in late January of this year. No, so but how that plays out eventually, yung patatakbuhin si Senator Bong, tapos tatakbo din si Mayor Sara, medyo hindi yata, that doesn't make a lot of sense, no? So we really do not know. We cannot fathom how this PDP Laban dilemma comes to play and how it will eventually be resolved, no? Kung minsan, baka may larong substitution pa yan by November 15. We never can tell, no? Diba? We don't know at this point.
Nakita natin yan no December 2015. Anyway, yeah. Finally, Mr. Benayo, gusto kong tanungin naman kayo as an advisor to Mayor Isko Moreno. Isa sa mga naging puna at saka isa sa mga importanteng bagay na dapat pinag-uusapan, yung i-elect na presidente yung susunod, hindi lang dapat competent, dapat meron siyang character. So, importanteng mag-elect ng isang matino o mabuting tao sa pagkapangulo sa Malacañang. Si Isko Moreno, kung siya ba ang ihalal ng tao next year sa Malacañang, can you say na matinong tao siya at mabuting tao siya?
With a straight face, yes. Unang-una, napakahalaga, especially at this point in time, na yung ihahalal mong presidente, una, may energy. No? That may not necessarily be a function of age, ha? But yung nagpakita ng mabilis na aksyon, no? Mabilis kumilos. Pangalawa, yung somebody who knows how it is to be poor. Iba kasi talaga, we at our age, we are always a function of what we were in the past. We cannot transcend ourselves from what we were in the past. In the case of Isko, talagang nanggaling sa sobrang hirap. Talagang he had to claw his way out of poverty. And therefore, he understands what the poor needs. The problem with the Philippines is our economy is always focused on growth. Whether it was GMA or Pinoy or even President Duterte, the focus was on how many GDP percentage we increased. 6%, 7%, etc. But through all these years, through all of these generations that have passed, we have not been able to come up with equal opportunities for the poor, to redistribute wealth, not by taking away from the rich, but by government giving affirmative action towards the needs of the poor. And that is why you will see in the projects that Mayor Isko did in Manila, no, or has been doing in Manila, lahat ito pro-poor. He wants them to live a life of dignity. So can you imagine housing a slum dweller in a 42 square meter unit made of concrete, no? Kasi binibigyan mo ng dignidad yung mahirap, no? Can you imagine equipping hospitals so that those hospitals, public hospitals, no, of the city of Manila are at par with St. Luke's or Makati Med? Why? Because mga mahihirap pa nagpupunta rin sa hospital, hindi naman mayayaman eh, no? But you give them the facilities, no, that are enjoyed by the rich. So yun yung makikita, yun yung pagkakaiba as compared to the competition who are born to wealth, born to entitlement, may sense of entitlement. Naging ganito, naging ganon because their father or their mother was this or that. Si Isko from the bottom, no? He clawed his way up. Walang tulong ng sino man. Puro sarili niyang kayod, no? So alam niya yung problema ng mahihirap and he empathizes generally with the mahihirap. You can say Pacquiao is the same thing. But totoo, no, in that sense, parehong pinanggalingan nila was the pits of our society. Pero siguro naman, makaka-compare din si Isko with Pacquiao in terms of yung hunger for knowledge. No? I'm not deprecating the abilities of Senator Manny. But nakita ko kay Isko talaga yung parang sponge. Pag nakausap mo, no, and he faces an economist or he faces a political scientist, parang sponge. The following day, nakuha na niya yon at nasasabi niya, nako-communicate na niya yon in his own way. No? So that is the reason why I am helping the mayor of Manila become the next president of the Philippines.
I was supposed to ask Manny Pacquiao, pero sinagot niyo na yung tanong. At naiintindihan ko perfectly yung how you strung those words together. Anyway, maraming salamat, Mr. Lito Banayo, for joining us on this podcast. Always a pleasure speaking with you, sir. Maraming salamat,
Christian at Nico, sa inyong lahat. Maraming salamat.
Okay, so this has been your host, Christian Esguerra. Thank you very much for joining us on this week's Facts First podcast episode. Again, you can catch the YouTube channel or YouTube version of this interview on our YouTube channel. Just don't forget to click the like and subscribe button. And of course, this podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. See you again next week. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.